Hello and welcome to Off Curve. I'm Wicked Good, and I am talking to you about Hearthstone as I am driving home from work. It is Friday, July 6th, 2018. I actually wanted to be recording this yesterday, but it's pretty hot. And so I'm in Massachusetts, for those of you who don't know. We've been having a pretty epic heat wave for us. For some people, it's probably nothing, but it's been, like, in the 90s Fahrenheit, which is, like, 32, 33 Celsius, for those of you outside of the U.S., where we refuse to use the same temperature scale as everybody else. So, one of the things about recording in a car is that if I have the air conditioning going, you hear that and not my voice. So, I thought about recording this yesterday, and then I thought about trying to drive in the car without the heat, without the AC going, and I nearly passed out just from the thought. So, that is why you are getting something on the weekend. I would rather not release on the weekend, because less people hear it, but, you know, it is what it is. So I finished in, deep in low rank legend last month, as expected. I don't really care. I was happy enough just to have gotten to legend, and I tried to climb out a couple times, and I was disabused of that notion very quickly. So I want to talk about the ladder. I want to give an update on the ladder thing, just because I know it's kind of old news by now, but I feel like there's still a lot of people who don't really understand what was going on, and I just want to take what I understand from that, and then kind of get some closure to that, so that we can all kind of reference that next time that something like this happens. And I got a short strategy topic this week. Basically, I want to... we know that there's an announcement coming on the 12th. So you would expect a new episode from me on that day. So I think that's next Thursday. So I would expect you're going to hear from me again then. I just want to get a short show out here today. I don't like going more than a week. I know that when I started this, I said, maybe you'll get a show, maybe you won't. I don't like going more than a week. But anyway, so my league and ladder, I've actually been doing okay. I've taken a bit of a back step today, but, I was up as high as like rank three, four stars, with almost exclusively Shudderwalk Shaman. I tried a bunch of stuff at the beginning of the month. I was trying Mali Ghost Druid for a little bit. I was trying Combo Priest for a little bit. Just kind of trying some stuff out, seeing how it felt. And Shudderwalk Shaman's really the only deck that it's not even so much a power level thing. It's just like, what do I think that I can ladder with for the next month, right? Like, what can I play over and over again and not be sick of and not get tilted with? And I feel like Shudderwalk Shaman is the answer for me. It may not be the answer for everyone. And, like, I think that, you know, whatever you're going to ladder with, especially, like, if you're 5 to Legend regularly, whatever you're going to ladder with is really going to be less about the overall power level right now and just what you're comfortable with being able to play. Because it's, you know, if you're doing that, it's not as many games. I think if you're going from a lower rank, it may be a little bit more... You may want to just try to get something that's going to have a higher win rate. I'm okay to accept a lower win rate in exchange for something that I enjoy playing at this point. And Shudderwalk Shaman's kind of been that for me. Like, I find that I was talking to Ridiculous Hat on Twitter about this today, because he's been trying it and he ended up going back to Miracle Rogue. And I kind of have the opposite reaction, where I try Miracle Rogue and I go back to Shudderwalk Shaman. Because, you know, it's a matter of what kind of style you like, and what kinds of puzzles you want to get into with this type of deck. Like, Miracle Rogue is like a series of aggro puzzles. Like, how can I make all these janky cards in my hand add up to 30 damage? And Shudderwalk Shaman's a lot of how do I live long enough to get my Shudderwalk off. So I'm playing Deathseize list. I will link in the show notes. This is one that runs one Sandbinder instead of a Hemet, and it runs a Mossy Horror. I like the Mossy Horror. I'm kind of going back and forth on it now, because it was very good yesterday, and now there's less. I think I'm definitely seeing a lot less Druid, I was seeing a lot of Token Druid like 2 days ago, and I'm not really seeing any Token Druid now. I'm seeing a lot more of that Heal Zoo that's come around, and I don't know how good the Mossy Har is against that, but it is good against a lot of like Chain Gangs and 2/4 taunts that even Warlock has, and against opposing totems and Dragon Hatchers, that sort of thing. So, I mean, it could be any other tech card, really. But I've been liking it now. I may have to reevaluate that depending on what I'm seeing. But I found that it's at least... I feel like I have a puncher's chance in any matchup, which is really all I'm asking for. Like, you know, if I play aggro, then if I run into Druid, I just know I'm in for a bad time, right? Like, and if I play Druid and I come up against, I don't know, a Shaman or a Control Mage, I know that I'm in for a bad time. I don't really feel like there's any matchup as a Shudderwalk Shaman that's an insta loss or that's like heavily, heavily unfavored, except maybe for like Recruit Hunter, which I'm not seeing a ton of. And I feel like it, my mind works with the deck. Like, I understand how to hold back my clears. I understand when I need to clear against which deck. I understand like what my cards get, how to get the most value out of the tools that I have in the deck. Stuff like that. So, you know, again, your mileage may vary. I don't think this is definitely a list for everybody. I think Shudderwalk Shaman is actually a much more difficult deck than it's given credit for. A lot, like, it seems like you just kind of play cards and eventually you win. And yes, to some extent, that's true. But there's also a lot of knowing what threats you need to save your answers for. Like, I ended up playing a game against a Quest Paladin, of all things. And I misplayed, you know, maybe you wouldn't call it a misplay, but I think I would, where I had a Volcano and a Hex against their minions they were using to set up the Galvadon, and I Volcanoed it instead of Hexing it, because I was saving the Hex for a Galvadon, forgetting that Galvadon can and usually will get can't be targeted. Like, with 5 chances on it, you're probably going to get it. And Volcano would have cleared it, but I'd use my Volcano against the wrong threat. So there's a lot of like little nuance about that. Like, if you use the wrong threat at the wrong time, or if you overload yourself on the wrong turn, or you use your overload cards inefficiently and lock yourself out of a turn, like, there's a lot of little ways that you can mess yourself up. So I like it. I think it's a fun challenge, and I'm doing well with it. I was at like a close to a 70% win rate yesterday. Followed a little bit from that, but you know, month's young, and I've been playing at times that I probably shouldn't be playing, like on my phone. I probably shouldn't be playing Rack Ladder on the phone, but, you know, it is what it is. So, that's a deck you can try, but we got some other things to talk about. Alright, so I want to do a quick update on what happened with the Legend Ladder thing, and if this is something that you absolutely don't care about, you don't want to listen to me talk about it again, skip forward like 5 or 10 minutes. I promise there'll be something if you're not a Legend player. I have something that's more relevant for you, I promise. But I kind of want to make sure to follow up on this since I put a big theory out there last week, and I just want to follow up on it. So, like, a day or two after I posted that episode, Blizzard came out with an announcement. First, they said that they were looking at it, and then the next day, they came out with the announcement about what they were doing to fix it. So, the announcement, and I know this is probably old news, because I should have recorded this a few days ago, but, you know, where they said some players have raised concerns for matchmaking at Legend Ranks. Rest assured, we've not changed the matchmaking calculations since the 10.2 update. However, it resulted in an increased number of people reaching Legend, and their matchmaking values are closer together. So, with a tighter distribution of matchmaking rankings, losing games at lower Legend ranks can result in matchmaking rankings significantly worse than non-Legend players. And once a Legend player has a low matchmaking rank, it can be difficult to gain ranks. So what they're doing is they're going to make it take more games for a Legend player to have to play against a non-Legend player. So, what the hell does any of this mean? So, first of all, one thing that's really important, 10.2 is the March update that changed the ladder system, not 11.2, which was the test patch. I, you know, saw a couple people going down a path. I tried to ward off a couple of them. This, basically what they're saying is that since they fixed matchmaking for Legend after the initial rollout of the new ladder system, they haven't touched it, which was my theory. When they hadn't said anything, my thought was nothing had changed and they're seeing new behavior and they were trying to figure out what the hell was going on. So I was right. And I was not right about what the reason was, but this makes sense once you understand how legend matchmaking works. So, you know, a little bit of, just so everyone's on the same page, because I've had to explain this in enough Discords that I feel like I need to say it on a podcast so that, you know, nobody will understand how it works because nobody listens to the podcast anyway. Hi. So at Legend, there's your ranking, which is actually like the number that you see. And then there's a matchmaking rank rating that is behind the ranking. So the ranking is a leaderboard. It doesn't look like it because you only see your score and you're comparing it. But when people are talking about losing and gaining ranks, they're not really. They're moving up and down the leaderboard. You know, so if you jump ahead of a whole bunch of people, you're going to go up a whole lot of ranks. And that may not be tied to how many points your rating is gaining or losing. So the rating is basically based on an ELO rating, which is used in chess and was used in Magic way back when. So what that means is that effectively you have another number that's behind the scenes that you can't see. And every time you play against somebody else, each of you is effectively wagering some portion of your rating. And the person who has a higher rating is wagering more. It's kind of like a handicap. So, like, the numbers aren't going to work out like this, but let's say that I have a 50 rating and you have 150 rating. Maybe I'll wager 25 points and you'll wager, like, 75 points. And then, you know, you'll go down, you know, 75 and I'll go up 100 or something like that. Like, it's basically if you beat somebody who has a higher rating than you, you go up a lot more. And if you lose to someone who has a lower rating than you, you go down a lot more. Similar, so it weights the ratings based on whether the system thinks that you are expected to win the game or not. Because someone with a higher rating is expected to beat somebody with a lower rating. So what was happening is that you had a lot of people hitting Legend all at the same time. So those people were getting ratings that were around the same number. So the thing about the rating that we learned in March is that it's recalculated at the beginning of every month. So it gets wiped out and you start fresh based on your wins and your losses, which is why you had some people who were like at rank one Legend who couldn't go out of it because their rating was so high because they won one game and then that was it and they never lost. So what happens is that it used to be in the old system, you'd have to play a lot more games. So the ratings would be a lot more varied. Like, you'd go up, you'd go down, it would take you a lot longer. You'd have a longer stretch of games against a varied, set of opponents that would end up with a lot more varied ratings once you got into Legend. And then that would make the ranks kind of go up and down with what you would expect if you were looking at just the rating. So now, with fewer games needed to get to Legend, and with more people hitting at the same time, you had a lot more people who were all at around the same rank. So when you play against somebody else, you're not gaining or losing that many points, but if everyone is bunched together on the leaderboard, then you're dropping below the next person who has one more point than you do. So you may only drop like 10 points in your rating, but you're going to drop 200, 300, 400 ranks. And that was why it was so punishing to lose a game at Legend and why you had to have such a high win rate. And then once you got to a certain point, what happens is that when you're at Legend, it uses that rating to match people together. At non-Legend, it just uses the stars that you're at. But when you're crossing the streams, it's still using the MMR for both players, but the MMRs, the ratings, were getting down to the point of rank one, rank two, rank three players. And there are a lot more of them than there are of Legend players, as I talked about last week. So then you get stuck playing against a whole bunch of non-Legend players. Again, you're matched up against somebody who's closer to you, but there's no bottom. So eventually you would normally start playing people who are like better than you and you'd start climbing out. But there was no way to do that because there's just this infinite supply of people at the same rating at you at ranks 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, sometimes 6 and 7. So I think that their fix of making it, you know, significantly more games you have to lose to play against non-Legend would work. I'd love to see them just make that significantly larger number, just infinite, after there's a certain number of legend players, even if it means increasing the queue times, just because, like, I think we're still going to have this problem where if you lose enough games and you start having to play against non-legend players, you'll really never be able to climb back out, because, again, there are so many more of them that you will just get matched against them infinitely, and you'll never be able to play against another a better player by rating and be able to pull your rating out. But I think that this fix will help a lot. I guess we'll see in like a week or two once we start getting into, you know, getting more people into Legend Ladder. But, you know, that's the reason that this was happening the way it was. And I was right in the theory that nothing changed in the code, but something changed in the behavior. And it's really hard to simulate that. I mean, they could have, but they would have had to know what they were looking for. So they found it, they fixed it. I would have liked if they had communicated a little bit earlier that they were looking at it, rather than just having radio silence, but that's pretty much the only complaint I would have. I think that everything else, unfortunately, it's a sucky situation, and they're doing their best to fix it. It sounds like, really, to fix this permanently, you need, like, a rework of how you're matchmaking at Legend, which it sounds like maybe they're working on. Alright, so the strategy thing I want to talk about this week is it's kind of a shorter topic, and we touched on it in the episode I had a couple weeks ago with Hat and Andrew, but I want to do a little bit of a deeper dive on it, because if you are somebody who's struggling, that and this is something, to be fair, I have to remind myself of constantly. So this is even a habit that you can get out of as somebody who regularly gets to Legend. It happens less, but it does happen if you're not focusing on the game, and that's sequencing. So this is one of the ways that you can gain percentage points in win rate. Now, will it always win you the game? No, it will not. Will making bad sequencing always lose you a game? No, it will not. But on average, if you're sequencing properly, and then you can help yourself not give away games or win games that you might have otherwise lost. So the example that I have, and what made me want to talk about this week, is I was playing a few games of Mally Goes Druid. Deck is hard as hell, by the way. RDU has a great guide, I'll put it in the show notes as well, that talks about it a lot, but it's a very, very difficult game to play. But there was a game where I looked at the board, and I had a Twig of the World tree with one charge on it. I had an Alexstrasza, and a 4-attack minion, a 1-attack minion, and 2 swipes in my hand. And they were at, I think it was like 21 or 22. I forget the exact number, but what happened is I looked at it, and with all of that damage, I still had the coin in my hand too. And I had 10 mana. And I was like one off. And then I realized that if I Alex their face, coined, hero power to make my attack 2, attacked him with the twig, attacked him with all the minions, and then double swiped, I had exact lethal. And it was a really interesting find the lethal puzzle. But if I had missed any of that sequencing, you know, because I needed the Alex to go first to bring them down to 15. If I had attacked with the weapon and then Alexed, it would have undone the damage that I did with the twig, and then I wouldn't have been able to get the rest of the damage in. So I needed to do it exactly in that order. So, you know, and that kind of reinforced to me, like, how important sequencing is in this game, and how much of a skill it is that you need to develop if you're going to play at higher ranks. And one of the things that can make it a lot more possible to climb above where you normally do. So what are ways that you can get good at sequencing? What kind of sequencing do you need to worry about? So the first simplest thing is working in your hero power. And this is something that I struggle with a lot myself even. So the simplest case is Warlock. If you have 2 mana left over and you play cards before and then you tap at the end of your turn, you did something wrong, usually. Again, everything I'm saying has an exception, because there are always cases like you have 10 cards in your hand, you have you know, some reason that you want that you need to tap after because you might draw into a Hooked Reaver or whatever. You know, there's always exceptions, but in general, the simple case. The way that you do that better is you always want to let random effects that might change the what you do on the rest of your turn, you always want those to trigger as early in the turn as possible. So the shorthand for this is draw first. So if you go through your turn as a warlock, and you have two or more mana left over, you should tap first. So what does this mean? This means that you need to, before you started playing any cards, you needed to think through, how much mana do I have? What cards do I want to play? How much is that going to add up to? Do I have enough to tap? That means playing slower and playing more methodically. Because if you just start playing cards, that's when you missed the chance, you didn't take the time to count, and then you didn't have the opportunity to tap first. Same thing in Shaman. If you're playing a spell, other than Volcano gets a little bit more complicated, but like if you're playing any sort of like a Lightning Storm or whatever, and you have two mana left over, you should totem first, because you might get a spell damage totem, and that might make your clear better. But again, you need to be this. What goes with sequencing is also thinking out the entirety of your turn, and then seeing if there's anything you can do to improve it. So, you know, that means that if you have, so again, it's simpler, like if you're playing a tempo mage, there's a million examples. I'm not going to go through every single one, but if you're going through a tempo mage, if you're playing a tempo mage and you are playing arcane missiles, if you have a hero power that's available to you, again, you've thought through your turn, you have the extra mana, and you can ping one of the minions to bring it into down to one health, then you should probably do that, or target it with a Frostbolt or something so that the Arcane Missile can kill it, because if you just Arcane Missile, then you'll potentially waste one damage into that minion that you could have spent otherwise. So a lot of this is just taking the time to figure out, before you touch any cards, what am I doing on this turn, and then is there a way that I can sequence does the order matter, right? Is there a way that I can sequence this to make this better? So can I, clear a taunt and then be able to attack into another taunt behind? Or can I play the spell first, clear off the taunt, and then get rid of some of the minions with what's left on board? Like, if you ever watch a streamer and they say order, that means that somebody messed up. And it's, again, there's a million examples of them, but the one way that you could really just make a big difference in your game is two things. One is thinking out everything you're going to do on the turn, and sometimes next turn, right? Like, what this goes into is even just play selection. Like, if you're about to clear as a shaman with something that's going to overload you, what are you doing next turn, right? Like, if you're a Shudderwalk shaman, like, I run into this a lot now. If I'm a Shudderwalk shaman, And I'm clearing on three with a Lightning Storm, I'm not doing anything next turn other than hero power. So if I have a coin and I have a chain gang, I might want to coin chain gang on three and then storm on four, because then I'll have three mana, and I have a lot of things I can do with three mana as Shudderwalk Shaman. I have pretty much nothing other than Glacial Shard and Kel'Seth and hero power at two mana. So just looking through it, even into your next turn when there are implications like that. And just, like, I've lost games because I haven't looked down at my mana total and taken into account overload on a particular turn because I got locked into a game plan, right? Just, this all goes into slowing down, and it goes into mindfulness when you're playing. But if you can, pay attention to that and then think to yourself, would any of this change if I played this card first? Or would any of this change if I use my hero power first? With Warlock and Shaman, a lot of times it will. And a lot of times you should make the time to do that. And this is something, by the way, I'm terrible at too. I cannot tell you, even now, even having gotten the Legend as many times as I have, how many times when I'm playing as a Warlock and I don't tap first because I just forget about it. And that means I'm playing too fast. So think about that and, you know, look at your play and say, is there any way that I can improve the sequencing? Is there any way I can slow down and see, does any of this stuff matter if I play it in a different order? I think that if you do that, it will, first of all, it will just improve your play in terms of making you more mindful about how your turns are playing out. And also, it will help you in terms of being able to get a couple percentage points and get a couple better plays than maybe you would have otherwise, and maybe you'll turn some of those close losses into some close wins and get yourself climbing up a few extra stars. All right, so that's it for me for this week. So just as a reminder, as we go into reveal season, you know, if you're new to the show, I do not typically talk about the cards on this podcast because I go over to the Happy Hearthstone and guest host for two episodes where we talk about every card in excruciating detail. So I'd rather not repeat myself because that's a lot of talking on that show. So what I would expect is that next week I'm going to have some initial reactions to the new set, and that's basically going to be the last time I talk about specific cards on this show until the set's released. I will probably, the week after that, I probably do my usual rearview mirror episode where I look at some of the evaluations from the Witchwood and see what I got wrong or what I got right that a lot of people didn't and why, so that we can try to make those evaluations better for this set. I sometimes do, if there are decks that are coming out that look like they may need some, bring some cards out of the woodwork, I may have an episode talking about cards that you may want to keep an eye on crafting that are not from the set. If those decks are good, and I usually have a theory crafting episode right before the set releases. And then the week after, hopefully, assuming, I haven't actually asked him yet, but the tradition is that Ridiculous Hat will join me. And we'll talk about all the decks in the meta, but, you know, I guess I'm asking him now on the podcast, because that's how I roll. But I may have some time for some strategy discussion as well, if there are any topics, because, you know, sometimes reveal season does go longer, and sometimes I'm a little bit grasping at straws for things to talk about. So, if there are strategy things or things you want to elaborate on, this is actually a little bit of a quieter time for me, as opposed to every other Hearthstone podcaster, because of the fact that I'm not doing card reviews every week. So if there's anything you want to talk about, please let me know. You can either find me in Discord, or you can message the show account is probably the best way to do it. You can either at mention or DM at Off Curve on Twitter, which is also where you can find announcements of new episodes as they go live. But that's probably the best way to let me know. If there's anything specific you want me to talk about that is not a new card review, then let me know and I'll do my best to work that in. You can also find the show notes and the links for this episode and all the episodes at offcurve.com. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at WickedGood, where I'm sometimes talking about Hearthstone and sometimes yelling about other things. And you can follow me on Twitch at I am twitch.tv/WickedGoodFM. If all goes well, it looks like I'll actually be doing a Shutterwatch Shaman coaching session on my stream on Sunday night. No promises, because, you know, things sometimes fall through, but it looks like that's what I'm going to be doing, which will be very interesting, I'm sure, not for just me, because I've never actually done something like that before, but I think it'll be fun, and I think there's a lot of things that we can all learn from it. So check that out, and, you know, do leave a review on iTunes. It helps out, helps with the visibility, and it's kind of, you know, it warms the cockles of my heart. So, you know, that's some of the best support that you can provide. Again, I don't have a Patreon, so that's one of the best ways you can support me. And the other way is just, you know, telling other people about the show and sharing it with them so that we can grow the audience that way. Kind of word of mouth type of thing. All right, so that's it. Hope you're looking forward to the new expansion. Hope you're doing well on the ladder or whatever your goals are. And, you know, good luck in everything you do, and be good to each other. We'll talk soon. New announcement coming soon. Can't wait. Bye.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.